Thanks for listening to iTruths, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church of Texarkana, Texas. I'm Richard Hornock, the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and the following is a message that I delivered during one of our Sunday morning worship services. I trust that it will be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ. Thanks again. I have talked to people, I bet you have talked to people, and they've had a tough life. Life hasn't gone the way they thought it would. And maybe some of it was self-inflicted, some of it was inflicted by loved ones, some of it was inflicted by just the circumstances of life, but they seem like they have had a tough, tough row. And I remember talking to one guy in particular and just sharing with him and trying to find out where he was spiritually. Did he go to church? Did he do much in terms of spiritual things? And, you know, I could tell that I had just really opened up an area of life that was tender. And he, you know, normally just a very happy, kind of casual guy, you know, flippant guy. All of a sudden, he got real serious. And it wasn't that he was uncomfortable talking about it. He wanted to talk about it. But he said something that I think was really profound. He said, I just don't think God could ever accept me. And I'd known that this guy had had a history of going to church, and I think this guy genuinely had trusted Christ, but the way his life had gone for the last 10 or 15 years, I mean, this guy was so beaten down and so discouraged, so depressed, so, just wrung out, that in the quietness of his heart and just almost speaking out loud what was on his heart and on his mind, not really telling me, because he was just kind of said it. It was like, I just don't know. I have messed up my life so much, and my life has, you know, it's just, I don't know. That's how he was. You know, in essence, he didn't say it this clearly, but what he was basically saying is, I don't think God is that good. I don't think God is that gracious. I don't think God is that forgiving. God, there's a limit to what God could take from me. And I've crossed the line and I've been the prodigal. And as much as I come back to the Father and beg and confess my sins, I just don't think God's love is deep enough. I don't think God's grace is broad enough. I don't think God is good enough to accept me. You know, when I listen to someone say that, there's a Pharisee inside of me that says, boy, I'm glad I don't have that problem. I've told you several times, I was born on a Sunday and I was in church the next Sunday. I'm about the most churched person you will ever meet. My daddy was a preacher. All of my brothers were preachers. I mean, the Hornock family business is being in ministry. I mean, I am so churched and so steeped in evangelical theology. I mean, it's just almost nauseating, to be real honest. I mean, I'm there. And one of the things that is just drilled into my head and hardly, I don't think I could even get the words out. I don't think I could ever say God is not good. God is not gracious. God is not forgiving. No, I do it another way. I just say my life stinks. I just say, why is that happening? And I know enough. I can't even get the words out to say God is shafting me, but that's what I feel. And, because, see, I'm a good Christian kid, pastor's kid, preacher, you know, and I get paid to say godly things, and so I'm never going to say that stuff, but I'll bet you, you know, I'll be just honest with you. I do still feel those things. And I think those things. And, you know, fortunately for me, by God's grace, I've never persisted in those feelings, you know, for a long time. I mean, in my case, quite frankly, you know, maybe a half a day or, you know, I'm not even sure, 2 days in a row. I mean, I mean, God has been so gracious to me. And I mean, in some ways, I'm kind of a wimp. I mean, because I just have not had a hard life. I just haven't. I mean, I got a wife that loves me. I've got parents that loved me. I got a wife whose parents loved her. I mean, my parents did take me to church. My in-laws took my wife to church. I mean, all of our kids, none of them have really rebelled. None of them have told us to take it and shove it, you know? I mean, none of them have really just, you know, buckled against us. We've never had health issues. I mean, we really haven't. I mean, none of our kids have gotten sick. I mean, we had a few miscarriages, but they were just so very, very early on. I mean, it's like, I mean, some of you have gone through things that are just terrible in comparison to what we have. And so sometimes when I sit and I come to a sermon like this and I think, you know, even when life is tough, God is good. And I could see 95% of you saying, yeah, if I had your life, I'd think that. You've made good money. You've had great health. I mean, good grief. Your dad died at 87. Your mom's 92. Your in-laws are 85. I mean, you guys got some great genes in you. I mean, you're not, you know, nobody's getting sick and, you know, struggling with something at 43. I mean, it's just, you got good health. You got, you know, you seem like you got good minds. Your kids have gone off and they haven't shot themselves in the foot. And I mean, you haven't had the tough life. And you know what? You're right. I haven't. I don't know why. But by God's grace, I mean, as my oldest sister, my only sister, she hates it when I call her the older sister. As my sister says, I live a charmed life, and she's right. I do. So I don't want the fact that today the message you're going to hear is from someone who hasn't been down there and wrestled with it as hard as some of you have had to wrestle with it. I don't want you to discount that, the message at all. Okay, today you've got a very flawed messenger. But the truth I want to deliver is still absolutely true. And here's the truth. God is good. God is good. You know, and like they used to say in church, God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. But let's be honest, okay? We all know that. And I should know it probably better than anyone in this room. But even then, because of just the sinfulness of my life and because of that inherited sinful nature, because of that fallen, effaced, image of God in me that was corrupted because of bad then of sin, even someone who's had as soft a life as me will sometimes wonder if God's really good. Some of you, rightly so, humanly speaking, really have questioned God's goodness. Because you have. I mean, you've had sick relatives. You've had relatives that have died when they weren't supposed to die. You've had kids that have done things that they should have never done. Some of you have had spouses that did things to you that should have never been done to you. Some of you have just by your own inadvertent carelessness have done things to yourself or to your family that you know, is like you literally took a gun and shot yourself in the foot. And some ways you're saying, God, why didn't you protect me from that? I mean, life hasn't been good. And you're the author of life. And you're the designer of life. You're the creator of life. And you could have stopped me. And And now, okay, forgiveness is there, but I just don't even feel like you've really totally forgiven me, because in some ways I still feel like you're kind of punishing me, and I don't feel that total connection with you. It's sometimes hard to really and truly believe that God is good. There are times in your life when maybe the health isn't there, or the money's not there, the relationship's not there, and you're like me. You're theologically astute enough to know how stupid it would be to say God's not good. But you sometimes will say, my life stinks. Or this I don't like. Where'd this come from? This is not working out. And it's like we know God is sovereign, we know God's involved, but we're religious enough, if you will, to not blame Him. But in reality, we are blaming Him. And so we question God's goodness. We question God's goodness. And that's to our detriment. Now, it's natural to question God's goodness. See, because like I said last week, we've got that fallen nature. And last week we talked about something, and hopefully maybe you talked about it in your community groups a little bit. We talked about those narratives that are floating around in our heads, those stories we tell, that operating system that's going on, how life works. And somehow, it's just natural for us to think, God's not functioning like a really good God. God's not functioning like a really gracious God. God's not functioning like a forgive and forget type God. He maybe forgave me, but boy, he's going to get his pound of flesh and maybe get a couple pounds of flesh out of it. And so in our minds, it's like those are the stories we tell. That's the narratives we say. That's when we get into these situations and, everything's great, but as soon as life turns a little south, even if it's just for a half a day or a week or even a month, all of a sudden we're just down there thinking, God is not whatever. Of course, we may not have even connected those dots. We just know life's not good. And if we really pushed ourselves, we'd be saying, God's not good. But we don't want to say that because we know that's wrong, but we think it anyway. You follow what I'm saying? See, the narratives, the natural bent that I have, the natural bent that you have, I'll bet, is God's not good. God's not fully gracious. God's not fully forgiving. God's not fully loving. Because we are very familiar with conditional love. We know that when we did really well, our parents got really happy. And we know that when we didn't do so well, our parents weren't so happy. And, maybe they still loved us, but we could tell by the exuberance of how they responded or didn't respond. And so we're very familiar with that conditional love. Whether it's a spouse or an employer or, someone else in our life, we know conditional love and we've felt that coldness. And it's real easy for us to feel that coldness from God because it's so easy for us to think God is loving us conditionally. And if I could just be a little better, if I could just avoid sin a little bit more regularly, if I just wouldn't do those stupid things, then God would like me all the time. And then my life would go well. And what we're really doing, if we sat and connected it all out, is we're questioning God's goodness. I want you to look at two passages. Because, those are the narratives that float around in our head. That's the operating system that we function with. But I want you to look at two passages and see the operating system that Jesus had, the narratives that Jesus had. One is in Luke chapter 13. Okay? Usually we start feeling this stuff when bad things happen, whether they're bad things to us or bad things to other people, bad things that we see out in the news, and it is so easy just to think, okay, those people deserved that, and those people did this other thing. Luke 13, verses 1 to 5. Interesting passage, okay? Some people came to Jesus, and they asked him about two really terrible situations that were in the news. Now, on that same occasion, there were some present who reported to Jesus about how the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Here's the deal. There were these Galileans, that was a region of Israel, the northern region where Jesus was born and raised, by the way. They had come down to Jerusalem, they were sacrificing, you know, their animals. And Pilate, for some reason, had sent soldiers in there, killed them, and so literally the blood of the lambs and the goats that they had been sacrificing, their blood was mingled with it, mixed with it. And presumably, these people that raised the issue with Jesus are saying, now, you got to admit, these guys had gone to church, they were doing the right thing, but obviously they must have had some secret sin, something going on, because God allowed Pilate to come in there and kill him. Well, look how Jesus answers. He answers and said to them, do you suppose that those Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I mean, is that what you're really saying? And if you really pushed it deeper, Jesus could have been saying, are you really saying that God is that sinister, that God is that small, that immature, that He's going to get bad people that way? I tell you no, verse 3. But unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. I mean, that the big issue is where you stand with God. They ask Him another question. Or actually, Jesus brings this one up. Verse 4, He says, or do you suppose those 18 or more, those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, that those people were real culprits than all the other people who live in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. See, it's interesting here. These two situations, these two bad situations, both would point to the fact that God isn't as good as we like to think God is. And Jesus took the opportunity in both cases to say, no, that's not the situation at all. God wasn't getting anyone. When you see these bad situations, what you need to do is use them as an opportunity to just say, where am I with God? I mean, where am I with God? Because the most important thing is that I'm right with God. Look at another passage. Look over in John chapter 9. Here's a situation, you've probably seen it before. John chapter 9. John 9, I'll start at verse 1. It says, and as Jesus was passing by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples, this is Peter, James, John, Matthew, Nathaniel, etc. They asked Him, they said, okay, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Do you understand what they're asking? I mean, here's a guy that is blind. He's been blind since birth. He's got a bad, bad thing going on. I mean, I talked about having a bad day. I talked about having a bad afternoon. This guy has had a bad life. Because later in the story, we'll find out this guy's 38 years old. This guy hadn't seen one day in his life. And so the disciples are naturally asking, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Because obviously, God was getting them. Obviously, God's not as good as everybody thinks He is, because God had something He had to pay back to somebody. And the way He paid this guy back was with his blindness. Well, look what Jesus says. It was neither this man nor his parents. I mean, he was blind in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, I made this bad thing happen in his life because I wanted to display my works. God made things go south because God wanted a platform to display His works, His power. I think there's a lot you can get out of that right there. And one of the things you can get out of it is God is good. Because here's the deal. What He is saying is those situations, what we've looked at already in Luke 13 and this one, when we see something bad happening, in our thinking, you know, we think God is acting small, we think God is acting vengeful, we think God, okay, He said He was forgiving, but He hasn't fully forgiven because now He's getting a little flesh out of the deal. We think that God is getting back at someone. We think God is you know, retaliating against someone. And all of those things, if you wanted to put a label on them, all of those things are God's not all that good. And Jesus, when He responded to all of them, responded with a resounding, you know what? God is good. God did these things or allowed these things because God wanted to do a great work that would display His goodness. This guy that's born blind, he's born blind so that I could heal him 38 years later. And you could see my incredible power. I mean, in a crass way, this guy was blind because on that day, Jesus needed a blind man. This guy had a bad life because on that day, God wanted to use him as an object lesson. See, when my life goes bad, the natural thing, like we talked about a minute ago, the natural thing that we have is to blame God. The natural thing that we have is to say God's not so good. God hasn't fully forgiven us, and that's why we're suffering those consequences. God hasn't fully extended His grace. God hasn't fully extended His love to us. Our natural reaction, whether we say God's not good or not, our natural reaction is to say, well, my life stinks. And I won't say it, but He's the author of life, and so therefore, you know, He's done this to me. And we blame God. And what this passage, I think, is clearly illustrating is He's saying, you know what? Sometimes God throws bad things in there because God wants to use those bad things as a platform for His goodness. For His goodness. To do the works of God. So all of that goes back to this statement that I made before. God is good all the time. And so we should not doubt that at all. In other words, we need to proceed throughout all of life with one basic principle firmly lodged in our head. No matter how we're going to interpret this event, no matter how we're going to figure out how to negotiate how we go from here, one of the things we've got to say, and if we don't say it, we'll start proceeding in the wrong direction. We'll interpret it in the wrong way. If we don't do this, it will all get messed up. We have got to say, no matter what's going on, God is good. And I may not understand what He's doing, but God is good. I mean, if you want to mess up in that situation, the first thing you do is you say, God isn't good. God's shafting me. God's not been as good to me as He has been to someone else. God said He'd forgiven me, but I don't really feel all that forgiven. God said He'd love me, but I don't really see this as His love. It's like I'm still carrying some of that garbage, some of that baggage, some of that residue from whatever it was. And so our natural reaction is just to blame God. course, as evangelicals, we never get all the way there, but that's the trajectory of our thinking. That God did it to me. And what Jesus is saying is, no. God sometimes allows those things because He wants to do good. See, did it ever occur to you that maybe the reason your life wasn't so good that afternoon is because God wanted to point out something in your life that needed correction? God wanted to point out something that you needed to maybe be doing a little different. God maybe wanted to expose some tendency that was leading you astray. That's God's goodness. God wanted to point out to you that maybe this relationship is not what it should be. And so He made your day go south. He made your week go south because He wants you to see what needs to be corrected. That's God's goodness. See, usually when bad things happen, we think God's done it to us. Well, in a way, that's true. God has done it to us, but He's done it in love because He wants to expose something that needs to be done. In Luke 13, they needed to repent. And instead of being Pharisees saying those people were bad, they needed to sit and say, you know what, we're just as big a sinners as they are. In John 9, what Jesus was saying is, no one sinned. I just needed a platform to show my greatness. See, when bad things happen to us, when our life goes south, it's actually an opportunity for God to continue to show His goodness. But we'll never see that if we play those little mind games that never go all the way there, but that's where they're heading, saying, this is God's fault. This is something God did to me. This is some lack of grace. This is some lack of forgiveness. This is some lack of love. This is some lack of God's goodness. What the truth is today that we're trying to focus on and trying to get a handle on is to recognize, you know what? God is always good. God is always good. And anything He has done or allowed to happen in your life has been done to demonstrate His goodness. It might be that He's making your life crater because He wants you to somehow respond to a situation in a more godly way. He may be wanting you to recognize a sin that is just leading you astray. He may be trying to get you to pay attention to a relationship that is unraveling. And when God does something in your life like that, that's God being good to you. That's not God getting you. That's God shoving you into a position where He can help you see His goodness and remedy elements in your life that need to be fixed. See, here's two things I think that are really worth remembering. When you really and truly trust God this way, the Bible makes it very clear, there is like this out-of-the-world type of joy that you can have. I remember Vicki telling me the story of one time when she had the opportunity to meet Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot is a Christian writer. I mean, now she's at the end of her life. She hasn't passed away, but her health is so bad that she's basically in total seclusion. I think she's in her upper 80s. But Elizabeth Elliot, she's the wife of Jim Elliot, the famous missionary that was martyred about 60 years ago. She then married a guy who was a seminary professor. He promptly got cancer and had this long cancerous disease, ultimately died. And just, you know, I mean, she had a hard, hard life. And Vicki was telling me that when she met her, Vicki, you know, I think this was when Vicki was in college, she said something like, man, you've really had a hard life. And she said, no, God has been so good to me. And I think that's a direct quote from Elizabeth Elliot to a young college girl. God has been so good to me. That's what you need to say. That's what I need to say. That, see, when we fully embrace God's goodness, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter how the consequences of our sin are coming back to bite us, no matter how maybe the surroundings that we're in are starting to crater, whether you know it's the good times or the bad times, when we fully embrace that there is a good God who intends only to promote goodness, His goodness, there is then a joy available to us that the world cannot match. That the world cannot match. And there's been times, I can think of one time when it was about 6 months or so before I met Vicki. I was in my first year of graduate school down in Dallas. And, I didn't have any money and I didn't have any friends. And I was like, why am I going to school? And do I really want to go into this ministry thing? And just because everyone else that has the name Hornock has gone into ministry, does that mean I'm supposed to go into ministry? I was just really, it was a Saturday morning. And you know, when you're in graduate school, Saturday mornings, you want to sleep till noon, and I had to be at work at 8. And so I'm driving up Central Expressway at about 7:30 on my way to this place that I worked. I actually worked at a piano store tuning pianos. Exciting life, you know. It's about 7:45, and I know the exact spot. It was right where 75 Central Expressway veers over onto LBJ, because the place I worked at was over at Abrams and LBJ. So I had about 2 or 3 more miles to go. And right then, I'm just praying, and I'm thinking through, and I'm like, God, this life stinks. Okay? But see, I'm getting a master's of theology, so I'd never say, you're not good. I'd just say, life's not good, Lord. And I was listening, you know, praise God, I was listening to some Christian music. And the particular song that I was listening to at that moment, the chorus just repeated, He loves me, He loves me, He loves me, and that's a brand new story. He loves me, He loves me. I can't remember hardly any of the other words. But it's like at that moment, through that radio, that Christian radio that was coming out, it's like God was saying, Richard, I'm good. I love you. You're tired. You're exhausted. I know there's no money in the bank account. I know there's piles of homework that you still got to do and you don't want to do it. But I love you. I'm a good God. Now just make that the foundation of your life and we'll get through the day. And you know what? It was a good day. And I've gone back to that. That was 33 years ago. I've gone back to that a number of times. That God loves me. That God is good. Here I was. Like I told you, I've had a wimpy life. No one's had cancer. No one's died. None of my kids have messed up royally. I'm sorry. That's one of my big struggles. That Saturday morning, I was a college student with no money. And yet God intervened into me and said, I love you. I am good. And when I embraced that, I'll just tell you, there was a joy. Now some of you, you're going through things right now. You wish you could go back to being in college with no money, because those were the good old days. Some of you are facing situations and you're saying, it isn't going to work. We're dying. Some of you can say that physically, we're dying. Some of you can say, this relationship. And what you need to hear today is that God is good. And He is working, like He did in John 9. He is working to display His goodness. And yeah, it might involve you doing some things, making some decisions, exposing things. But God is good. And when you embrace that, there's a joy. And here's the truth. Someday it will make sense. I mean, what does 1 Corinthians 13, I think it's verse 9, says? Today we see dimly, but then with Christ we will see face to face. You know, fortunately for me, in many of my situations, I don't have to wait till heaven. I know why God did this, and now it makes sense. But there's a few things in my life, and I'll bet there's a few things in your life, they will never make sense in this life. But here's the promise. Rest assured, someday in glory, in heaven, it will all make sense. I think God will illuminate our minds so that we will be able to add it all up and we'll say, that's what you were doing. Boy, you are even better than I thought. God is good. God is good. So how do you get that? How do you make that more of a part of your life? Okay, last week, at the end of the sermon, I had that profound bit of advice to go get more rest. Anyone do that, by the way? Oh, good. I'm glad four people got more sleep this week than last week. You know, I read that chapter like 6 weeks ago, and I have slept terrible ever since. And I was sleeping well until I read that chapter about get more sleep. But here's the thing I want you to add to it. Okay, we all need to focus on getting rested because it's like what he said, exhausted people cannot grow spiritually. That's so true. Focus on getting more rest. But let me add something to it this week. Find some time just to be quiet before God. It might be that you need to maybe wake up a little bit earlier so that you're just in the house by yourself alone, away from the stuff. It might be that maybe what you need to do is plan on, you know, a little more commute time so that you can maybe sit in the car for 5 minutes. Just build in some silence into your life. I mean, turn the radio off. Don't answer the phone. Silence the phone. Make it so it doesn't vibrate even, so you don't know that someone's trying to get you or text you or whatever. But find some gaps, some space in your life just to be quiet before God and use that time to start reflecting on His goodness. I mean, maybe if you're out and you can see things in nature, you know, you can look at it and say, man, that is so cool how He did that. I mean, what does the psalmist say? The heavens, the earth, declare the glory of God. I mean, that's why God put it all out there. That's why He went to such great extent to make nature so beautiful, because He wanted it to point to who He is. And so this week, I want to encourage you, along with getting more rest, I want to encourage you to find those gaps. 2, 3, 4 gaps a day when it can just be you and God. And give yourself that space so that as you reflect on God's goodness, it really can start becoming part of your operating system. That first and last, you go and say, I don't know how to interpret this, but one thing I know for certain, God is good. Let's pray, okay? Father, a very simple truth today, but I think that I think it needs to be profoundly drilled into every one of us. Because I think in our warped way of thinking and functioning in this very, very fallen world, very corrupt world, somehow you get blamed for a lot of stuff. Sometimes your actions get so totally misunderstood. And rather than taking responsibility or acting responsibly, it's just so easy to blame you. It's so easy to proceed from a perspective that that ultimately, even though we'd never say it out loud, but it ultimately says you're not good. Father, nothing could be further from the truth. I pray that today, one of the cornerstones of our relationship with you and our relationship with others be your goodness, your graciousness, the complete unending extent of your love. Father, I pray that today we would truly know just how good you are. And we would see it. And we'd be able to reflect on it. Father, give us those little gaps in our day, that space, where we can just be quiet in front of you. And we can say, you are good. I want you to sing with me. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. Father, I pray that today and this week we would know that truth rock solid. Now, Father, we just want to thank you for the time that we have had. We pray that as we go our separate ways, Father, we pray that we would go thinking and feeling and living in light of your goodness. Thanks for a good time of fellowship and the enjoyment we have had with being with one another. And now we pray that your grace and your truth would go with us today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.